Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Let me give those numbers again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-245-4237. And here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us today Senator Richard Mountjoy. And Senator Mountjoy was up in Sacramento 18 or 20 years. How long were you up there, Senator?
24 years.
24 years. Well, that's almost half a lifetime. And but he was always up there on the good side, standing for God and family and country and the Constitution. And wasn't it a little discouraging at times? There didn't seem to be too many people other than maybe Senator Rogers who were really standing with him.
Right. Well, it got lonely sometimes, but that's the challenge.
Well, of course, now you're retired. You were actually, Senator Mountjoy did not lose the election. He simply got term limited out, and he was one of the people who supported the term limits, hoping that this would help to, get responsible people in the Senate. Looking back on it, do you think term limits is a good idea, a bad idea?
Well, as I look back and view it today, I think that it was not that good of an idea. I think the term limits may be, but the terms that were put in were relatively short. The Speaker of the House, and the Speaker of the House now only has 2 years' experience before becoming Speaker. It's pretty tough. Legislative memory is lost. It affected the Republicans far greater than it did the Democrats. Because the Democrats generally, once they hold office, they're appointed to another bureaucratic office after leaving. Very few Republicans are appointed to anything after they leave office.
Well, that's because, of course, the Democrats control what goes on.
Exactly.
Well,
California, it really didn't work to our advantage. I really felt that there would be a lot of experienced business guys retiring and that would choose to go into the legislature, but it really hasn't happened. And now we have a handful of really dedicated folks up there, but the numbers are just very, very small.
Well, of course, people don't understand. California is one of the major players in the whole world economy. Are we, fifth or sixth economy in the world today?
We're fifth. I think we've slipped to sixth about a month ago now.
Well, the sixth largest economy in the entire world. I mean, China is, I think, number four, and, of course, the United States is number one, but this just the state of California is number six. And yet, of course, we have some of the worst legislatures, some of the worst laws in the entire country right here. What's your take on what's going to happen in November? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, as far as change in the state house, there's not going to be very, very many changes because the Democrats controlled the process during reapportionment. So what they've done, they have put the Republicans in really safe districts. You have to remember, Republicans, a safe district for a Republican is about 40% Republican, 42-43% Democrat, and then the rest scattered. The Republicans today, for the most part, have 50% Republicans, 52% Republican in that category. In other words, they have probably a 15% advantage across the board. But on the other hand, the Democrats have locked themselves into the same situation. So the legislature is pretty much locked. You're not going to change a whole lot of things with 30 Republicans, 50 Democrats in the Assembly. You're going to have 14 Republicans, maybe 13 in the Senate, and the rest of the 40 Democrats. So the Democrats, for the next 10 years, will dominate the scene without any real challenge.
But, of course, the thing is that I don't think the people of California are really that liberal. I don't think the attitude of the average person really identifies with the policies, the socialist, hardline, amoral policies of the Democratic Party, and yet they are able to get reelected time after time after time.
Yeah, the money flows to the Democrats, the big money. You have to remember, one of the problems in political life, and one of the things that I hated the most, was raising money. I was never a good fundraiser. And if you stand up for the principles, a very straight principle, you raise very little money. It's tough to raise money unless you're willing to bend and do some things that aren't quite right to favor one person than another. On the other hand, the Democrats rake in money hand over fist, because it's basically government for sale. And I hate to make that a partisan thing, but it's just, that's the way of life. That's the facts of life. And so for the next 10 years, there's going to be an out of balance, and things are going to get worse. I mean, your homosexual bills are going to fly through like they did this year. Your anti-family stuff, your life issues, those moral issues are going to be pushed aside by this rush to in our public education programs, where they're trying to push in all of these socially correct positions of the Democrat Party.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things was that Governor Gray Davis vetoed a terrible, terrible bill, but I'm sure that he really wanted to sign it. It was for this, a transsexual foster care and
yes,
a homosexual foster care bill. I've forgotten the details, but you were supposed to go out and recruit people, foster care patients for transsexuals and homosexuals, and you know, he knew that this was unpopular with the people, and even though his whole constituency backed it, why, he was smart enough, knowing, of course, we're just about in November, to yes, veto that in order to give the Christian population a little, a little reward, for not opposing it.
Well, I think he read the tea leaves, that there was a lot of opposition to that, although I believe that bill will come back next year, and he will sign it if he's reelected.
I'm
several
sure
like that. I believe the driver's license for illegal aliens will be signed.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a quick break right now. And, of course, this is the time when I want to mention to our listeners that, at least for this month, the Be Alive Royal Jelly Company is helping us out. And, of course, their product is good. I wouldn't say this if it weren't true, but I've taken it for 10 years. And if you ever get run down, you feel like you need a little lift during the daytime, why, this product really gives you energy. And that's what it's designed for. Madeline, the woman who formed this, actually had some sort of a chronic fatigue syndrome, and was confined to bed for a year and a half. And after she'd taken this for about 3 months, why, she made a dramatic improvement. Anyway, if you'd like to find out more about Be Alive Royal Jelly products, give them a call at 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And if after 3 months you don't feel that it really has helped you, they'll give you your money back. So that's a pretty hard offer to refuse. And I will tell you that both I and my wife have taken it for the last 10 years, and we're very, very pleased with it. Now, that's Be Alive Royal Jelly. Again, the number 1-866-233-7500. And then, of course, if you want to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged, we hope that many of you will want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can get the book either by itself for $12.95 or as part of a special with the video and the audio tape and the book for $29.95 plus shipping. And, of course, in California, you're going to have to pay for the governor's expenditures. You're going to have to pay the 8% tax. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope, if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, the September newsletter, which explains what's really going on behind the scenes and all this new legislation that's been passed since last September 11th, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you a copy and request a September newsletter.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Senator Richard Mountjoy, who 24 years up there in Sacramento. And of course, Senator Mountjoy, actually, you were in construction, aren't you?
Yes.
And haven't you been in construction more or less all the time?
Yeah, I was. I've been in the construction business. I was in the business 24 years, 25 years before I went into the legislature, so...
And, of course, the thing is that you didn't have to be in the legislature. You weren't up there for money or for power. You were up there to try to preserve our way of life and the Constitution. And I know that you got the nicest letter. Who was that from Tom Hayden when you left?
I had several letters that, you know, from people.
Who were on the other side.
Who just
said that they didn't agree with you, but they sure respected you because you stood for what you believed in.
Yeah, I got many of those from the other side of the aisle. Even from some of their top campaign strategists up there, they would say, you know, you're a guy that stands up for what you believe, and we appreciate that, you know, although they didn't agree with me. I just believed, you know, and my entire stand was, number one, when I made a decision, was it right with God? Was it right with the Constitution? If it could pass that test, it might get my vote. If it did not pass that test, then it didn't get my vote. Very, very, very straightforward. People knew that. And so I wasn't lobbied very heavy. Most people knew where I was going to come down on a given issue.
Well, of course, the thing is that so many of our politicians are unprincipled. They're pragmatic, you know, and of course you look forward to getting reelected. And, you know, if you don't, if you are just stubborn and you're not going to bend, you're not going to get those campaign contributions. And, you know, I fear that we sometimes have the best politicians money can buy.
That's it. You know, one of the things that has bothered me, and I had some people up there that were very... I thought, you know, they're good people, and they claim to be Christian. And about 4 years ago, about 2.5 years before I left the legislature, we were talking, a group of us, in a Bible study class. And these folks, they were telling me that they don't call themselves Christians. They call themselves followers of Christ. I said, why? Well, Christian has a bad condemnation to it. And so therefore, politically, we just say we're followers of Christ. And I said, then you're denying Christ, aren't you? If you're ashamed to say you're a Christian. And that bothers me a lot.
Well, I know there are a lot of things up there, but you know...
But they were taking a political correct course. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, you know, the thing is, I remember when I ran for Congress, and they said, well, you know, there's certain things you cannot talk about. You cannot talk about Social Security. You just can't talk about that, because, of course, everybody's going to be mad at you no matter what you say. So just don't talk about it. And, you know, one of the great problems facing our society at a national level would be Social Security.
Absolutely.
And certainly there's nothing that the state can do about that, but the people for running for office ought to talk about it. And you go to these schools and you go to these classes for candidates and they tell you what to say and what not to say and how to smile and how to have your picture taken, but of course they don't want to talk about the issues that really affect the future of our society.
You take the issue of illegal aliens today.
Nobody
wants to talk about it. As you know, I was the author of 187, but today they run from that like the plague. And it is one of the issues that is out there that is like about 80% of the people today want something done about our borders after 9/11. And yet, the politicians, a handful will stand up and talk about it. But very few do because they feel it's politically incorrect.
Oh, but the thing is, I think that an awful lot of the Hispanic citizens who are here legally and are American citizens and want to be good Americans, they're as concerned as you and I are about this influx of illegal aliens and, of course, giving, you know, they're bringing with them crime and disease. And not only that, but, of course, they're taking away so much tax money for, you know, for medical care and for... You know, in fact, here in California, I find it difficult to believe that if you are an illegal alien and you are here in California, you will be able to go to our colleges and get a subsidized education. If you are an American citizen coming in from Arizona, you would be far better off to announce your name was Gonzalez and you were an illegal alien, because then you could do just like the illegal aliens, because if you're honest and you say, my name is Smith, I'm from Arizona, you're going to have to pay a far higher rate than would somebody who is here illegally. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're gonna pay the out of state rate, and if you're illegally here, you pay the in state rate.
I would think just beyond that one issue, Bill Simon could win the election, but he just doesn't seem to want to talk about that or so many other things.
Yeah, I've talked about those issues with the campaign, and they have elected to not say anything. I know how Bill feels himself. He stepped in. He got a little bit of trouble this week, thanks to the mainstream media, really. But
I think he was set up for that.
I do too.
Personal thing is, when somebody came to him with this hot tip, you should have figured that he was probably from the Davis camp, and this whole thing was orchestrated, and he just fell right into it. He wasn't sophisticated enough to realize that there would be people who'd say, Bill, we think you're a great candidate. We really want to help you, and they're really working for Gray Davis.
Yeah,
This is the way that things are done. I know I had this in my own campaign. I'm sure you probably encountered that as well.
I had people in my first campaign for the assembly. I had people actually in my campaign working for my opposition, but I found out very quickly. A friend of mine overheard some conversation and told me, and so what I did, I just isolated them from any information. So I handled it fairly well. I have told Bill himself that I said, Bill, you have within your organization people that are not on your side. And you can tell it by the things that are happening internally in that campaign.
Sure.
And it's hard to sort out the moles. you know what I mean?
Well, my personal impression is it'd be better to start in all over again, because I think that there's so many moles there. I think you'd have a hard time finding the people who really support his candidacy. But be that as it may,
I think he's going to do all right. Gray Davison is so... he's the worst of the worst. I mean, he is so...
He gives dishonesty a bad name. It's really,
he sure does.
And, of course, the campaign contributions, the money he's taken from all the energy companies, and that alone, and this whole energy fiasco, he was largely responsible for that. Certainly not totally responsible, but it was the people who were on the PUC who would not allow the energy companies, PG&E and Southern California, to buy electricity, on future contracts.
That's right.
And yet he did exactly that, and he cost us $12-20 billion. We'll be paying for this for the next 20 years because of Gray Davis, and nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, he goes in and negotiates these contracts, and he doesn't know anything about energy, and yet the people that knew about energy and wanted to do the long-term contracts, he wouldn't allow it.
Right.
And the problem with that is we're going to see our energy costs skyrocket after the first of the year, because all of his misdeeds are going to come back to roost after the first of the year. One thing that's going to happen, and I think before the first of the year, is that this state is going to be in financial difficulty. The budget they passed, after blocking it for so long, the budget they passed is way out of balance. and there's the cash flow coming into the state at the present time is not strong enough to maintain the budget expenditures that they put out in August. So there's going to be, I think, before the first of the year, a move to raise taxes. Now, if we have Gray Davis back in office, you better believe the taxes are going to be raised. That's the handwriting is on the wall.
Well, of course, the problem is, you know, that with the stock market going down, they're not going to be getting the capital gains taxes. People are not making as much, and more people are out of work. And you would wonder why they wouldn't have foreseen this and really tried at least to hold the line instead of a massive increase in spending, facing, you know, what was obvious to anybody with half an ounce of an intelligence, a major contraction of our economy.
But you see, that's the problem when you have one party in total control, because they do whatever they want. And they have more ways to spend money than you could ever dream. And so they have frittered away, the majority in the legislature have frittered away all of the surplus that was built up during the two Republican administrations.
When you were there, and yeah. Well, anyway, of course, I think our state's going to be in real, real, real problems. And even over in Silicon Valley, they are having real problems, people getting jobs and keeping their jobs and cutting back. We're going to have to take a break here. And of course, I want to mention a couple of things. I hope that many of you out there, if you have children or grandchildren, will want to give serious consideration to getting Phenopoly set for them for Christmas. Now, Phenopoly is a board game. It's played like Monopoly. And it's not one board game. It's actually five board games and two bonus games. So there's seven games in all. But, of course, using these board games, you can teach a child to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, to begin to pronounce words phonetically. And that's the key to adequate reading. And even if you're 30 or 40 years old and you've been trained by the look-see method and you don't know all the basic rules of the English language as far as reading or spelling or sounding things out, you will benefit from this as well. And I know I've benefited, and I'm a lot older than most of you, and I played it, and I think that to this very day, I'm still benefiting from some of those basic rules that I learned. There's only 12 rules for the grammar of the English language as far as the spelling is concerned, and you learn them all in Phenopoly. Most of these programs cost $300 or $400. This is $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books to tell you how they've taken over the educational system and are destroying it. So remember Phenopoly. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's $139.95. But then we carry the Robinson homeschool curriculum, and if you have children or grandchildren, they can be taken from first grade all the way through high school graduation. There's 22 CDs. You have to print out the lesson plans, the textbooks, the tests, but it's all there. And, of course, it's $199.95. The only textbooks you have to buy are the Saxon math books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And then, of course, if you haven't tried our Miracle 2 soap products, that's Miracle 2 soap products, and you'd like information on them, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you're, we can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you that many of the users tell us it's been wonderful for rashes and other problems. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Miracle 2 products.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, Dr. Stan is here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Senator Richard Mountjoy, and of course he was in the up in the Sacramento there for 24 years fighting for you, trying to bring some sanity to the legislative process, and I'm sure much of the time it was a very, very lonely fight. His son, of course, has taken his seat in the assembly, and Dennis is doing a great job up there. And we hear all sorts of good things about what he's doing. But, of course, if you have a question for Senator Mountjoy, he knows what this is about. And certainly I know nobody I have more respect for in the political sphere than Senator Richard Mountjoy. Now, of course, since you left the legislature, you've still kept your hand in it as president of the California Republican Assembly. What's the CRA doing, and is there any way that our listeners out there, if they were interested in getting involved, how would they go about getting involved?
Well, if they want to be involved, I would recommend that they call. They can look on their computer, the CRA website. Just look up CRA, California Republican Assembly, and you'll get on the website. And there are chapters all over California. It's the largest Republican volunteer organization in the state. We have certain principles that we uphold. Ronald Reagan called us the conscience of the Republican Party, and that's what we are. We stand behind the Constitution. We stand up for the right to life. We stand for all of the strong principles of our party, and we don't waver from that. And we do not endorse candidates that are not strong in the Constitution and follow our criteria. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's too rigid. But we believe that you need principled people in public office. And we worked very hard in primaries. Bill Simon, we were on the ground floor of that campaign, and it was through our efforts that he overcame the Reardon challenge and went on to be our nominee. So we're very hard. We're the grassroots workers of California, and so when I left the legislature, they asked me to take over that organization, and I've done that. It's been a good time, and worked very hard at making sure the right people win the primaries. We did not lose. This is interesting. We didn't lose one of our challenge races in the primary.
Explain what you mean by a challenge race.
Okay, a race where we have a pro-life, pro-constitution, principled candidate running against what they would call a liberal or moderate Republican. They like to call them moderate, but there's nothing moderate about them. They're liberals versus a liberal Republican. Somebody that really doesn't have any of the principles of the Republican Party. And some of them, we were outfunded in a lot of the races, where we had a challenge, where we were actually in there putting our money down and the races that where you could go on to win in the general, we didn't lose one of those.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that there are people who say they're Republicans, but they don't believe in the principles of the Republican Party that Senator Mountjoy does, and they're simply working in the Republican Party to neutralize it, just like we talked about the moles and the in the political campaign. So they're the moles in the political party, and they're there simply to disrupt it because they want a one-party system.
Exactly.
And that is a frightening thing. And you would think that with the power that the Democrats have already controlling almost totally the Senate and almost controlling the Assembly, that they wouldn't be bothering to play these games. But these people are intent upon power. That's the thing that I never really understood. What motivates these people? Why do they want the power?
Well, they you know, it's sort of a thing that just drives them. It's like the excitement of the power over other people. And I think that's the wrong reason to hold public office. You should hold public office as a service, but you run into people all the time that have this ego drive to them where they will do anything for the power. And they'll do anything to be elected. And I think that's wrong. So they aren't very. Take a look the other day. I had a laugh. These people, these moderates, they call themselves the Big Tent Republicans. Now they're supposed to. They're the Big Tent, meaning, well, we agree. We let everybody in our tent. You know, we no matter what you think, you can join us, you know. But when Bill Simon stood up the other day against the homosexual agenda, they disinvited him from a function. So, well, wait a minute. Thought you all were the big tent Republicans. But because he stood up against the agenda of the homosexuals, then these big tent Republicans, who had invited him to be the key speaker, they withdrew their invitation one day before the event.
I know. Well, some of these people really give hypocrisy a bad name.
They sure do.
All right. Fine.
You have to laugh.
Well, you do. If you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, remember, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And let's go to Eric calling from Fremont. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Are you listening to us on the radio or on the Internet?
On the Internet.
Okay, fine. Because I was just wondering if our station got up to the Fremont area. Anyway, do you have a question or comment?
I just like, you know, your show, and, you know, I just like to just, you know, give you your props.
Okay, fine. Is there any question at all you wanted to ask us, the senator? Or you just want to tell us you like our show?
No, I just, you know, good, you know, the elections is coming up and everything, and I just, you know, just hope that they can settle some of the issues that we're facing in the United States.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much, Eric. And I'm going to ask the senator what he thinks about some of these bond issues, because I think that we are in some real trouble. If those bond issues go through, we're not going to be able to afford our homes. This is my concern.
No, vote no on all those bonds.
Oh, vote no on all the bonds. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a direct tax on your home.
Right.
Don't, you know, that's the state living on future money.
And, of course, the thing is, bond money is not a free money. In fact, the bonds cost twice as much as if you just appropriated it. And, you know, you're going to see your taxes going up and up and up to the point you're not going to be able to afford your home. Anything else you want to say, Eric?
I just hope they can settle the score when they get up there in office.
Okay, God bless you.
Yeah, well, you know, Eric was in, if he's in Fremont, of course, he heard a lot about our MTBE fight. You know, we finally have won that. You know, the Union Station all over California is now withdrawn, and although the governor made an extension on the removal of ether out of the fuel, and that was a fight, Dr. Stan, that we engaged in for, what, 3 years?
Right, and of course, you led that battle for us, and
yep.
I'm so glad that, in fact, you got Senator Mountjoy, for people who don't know, got some legislation through. They were going to have a study from the by the University of California to find out if MTBE did any good. And what did they find out after putting it into our gasoline to give us clean air?
Got into the water.
It got into the water. And how much good did it do?
It did zero.
All right.
The whole report, the whole program did no benefit to the air and polluted our water.
And, of course, the trouble was, here we're putting a carcinogen into the air and into the water, in the name, it's an old idea, I'm from the government, I'm here to help, and my reply is, please, I don't want any of your help. Hey, thanks so very much, Eric. Bye-bye.
Oh, toxic racism.
Right. Amen to that.
Well, bye-bye. You know, another bill that the governor has signed is a bill to get rid of the SUVs in California.
Well, now, that really is a rather frightening bill. Could you tell us a little?
Basically what it did, it turned over to the Air Resource Board, or the CARB, California Air Resource, the ability to, through regulations, to eliminate SUVs from California highways over a period of time. Now, we have referended that bill. We have been gathering signatures to put that up to a referendum. I think the time for gathering signatures is just about over. I think it ends next week or midweek next week. I don't know how close we are, but we have literally gathered thousands of signatures just by volunteers hearing about it and getting the petitions and having them signed. And so I don't know how close we are, but the bill basically would do just as I said. It will eliminate and eventually all SUVs from California highways.
Well, I think even the federal government and the Bush administration has brought a lawsuit to say this is unconstitutional.
Right.
And of course it is. And it's all part of this crazy attitude of the environmentalists, Kyoto Protocol, sustainable
exactly.
development, and what they really want to do, first of all, get us out of our SUVs. If they can get that through, it's going to be a bicycle for everybody. I mean, that's what they really want. That's why they're putting in all the bicycle paths. They really want people out of their cars. They really want them either walking or riding bicycles because it'll be so healthy for them. Of course, unless you're a bureaucrat. And if you're a bureaucrat or a politician, then you'll have a car.
Yeah, sure. They all drive large cars. But here's the point. Once they get you out of your, once they stop your mobility, they own you. They basically have control.
And
that's what it's all about. It's about those that believe the government should control everything and those of us that believe in liberty.
Amen. That couldn't be said or better said. And this is really what it's all about. There are people who have a different worldview, and they believe in a ruling elite that knows what's best for us common folks. And every time they pass a law, they take away a little bit of freedom. And when they pass enough laws, why, of course, there's no freedom at all left. Is there any way that our listeners, if they were interested in helping with that a petition drive, how would they be able to help?
They can call 626-357-7308 and talk to Peggy. And she will send out petitions that they could circulate and get back to her by midweek next week.
All right. If you're interested, that's 626-357-7308. And believe me, of course, if we'd known about that earlier, why, we would have done everything we could to help. Because what you need is an issue to rally the people behind.
Sure.
And when I hear that they want to take away our ability to have a car or of any sort, it's no business of theirs what we do, but they want to regulate everything we do. Well, let's go to Linda in Santa Rita. We're going to have to take a break here in just a minute. But Linda, do you have a question? And then we'll let you hang on while we do our commercial and then get the answer.
Okay.
But what was your question?
Well, just real briefly, I was just curious about reading here the our voter's guide that we just got.
Right.
And I'm going over the governor, Bill Simon, and then there's an American Independent Party, Reinhold Goelke, and his statement is really good, but I don't know, who that party really, I don't really know anything about it.
He hasn't got a chance.
He doesn't have a chance. I've talked to him, and I will tell you, I'm voting for Bill Simon.
Even though with all the things that you've come up with,
yes,
about the Republicans,
I'm going to vote for voting. you have to do what you think is going to give you the best. I wish it was, well, anyway, I'm going to be voting. I will tell Goelke, will accomplish nothing but ensuring that Davis will be reelected.
Let me just make a point here.
Okay, can you hold that? Because
sure.
We're going to have to take a break. You do hang on there, Linda.
Hold on.
But right now, I have to remind our listeners that we are listeners.
Somebody's got to pay the bills. Huh?
Right. And if we don't get the information out, we may not be here next month. But anyway, if you're out there and you believe that there is a problem and you believe we do a pretty good job, or you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, we hope many of you will decide right now to join the Radio Liberty family. And I will tell you that there are a lot of people out there hurting, and some of our long-term supporters have really just not been able to continue. And so we do need new people coming on board all the time. Right now, we're heard on 50 outlets across America every single week. Some of them are only half an hour a week, but at least people are hearing the truth they would never hear otherwise. And so if you'd like to partner with us, if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, if you'd like a free copy of our September newsletter, which will begin to take you into the background of all this legislation that's been passed since September 11th of last year in the name of force fighting terrorism, well, most of this has nothing to do with fighting terrorism, but it does have to do with restructuring America forever. And that's what the controversy is back in Washington, D.C. in the Senate. It's not really primarily about civil service for the people who are going to be in this new department, although that's a part of it. But it's really that it's going to change the structure of our government, and the media is not telling you that. So please, if you believe there's a problem, we'd be glad to send you a copy of our September newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and consider joining the Radio Liberty family.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our special guest this afternoon is Senator Richard Mountjoy, and we have Linda on the line, and she's asking about the American Independent Party candidate, or I believe that's the American Independent Party candidate. And Senator Mountjoy, would you like to comment on Linda's question?
Having been in Sacramento all those years, I can tell you that when you have a Republican governor, let's just use the example of Pete Wilson. Pete Wilson never agreed with us on the pro-life issue. There were so many of the social issues he didn't agree with us on. But we did better under his governorship on those issues than we ever would have with a Democrat. This year, during the time that Gray Davis has been governor, I mean, you look at the social thing that he has instituted to go into our schools. We talked just a while ago about the bill to have all of your foster parents go through sensitivity training on homosexuality. All of those things, and that will be signed next year if Gray Davis is reelected. But what a Republican governor does, and fortunately for us, Bill Simon agrees with us on most of those issues, so it even makes it all the better. But it gives those that are willing to stand up the ability to stand up against the Democrat tide, because presently the Democrats could care less if there's a Republican in the legislature. They'll say, you just show up for make the quorum and we'll do the business. They run roughshod over you. And so having a Republican there, fixes it. It makes it so that our agenda, the family agenda, the Christian agenda, is catapulted ahead.
And of course, the thing is that he can veto some of these bills.
Sure.
And Pete Wilson, to his credit, did. I didn't like Pete, but he did veto some bills that I thought were great things that he did. And I tell you, would be a lot worse off with Gray Davis in there than we will be with Bill Simon. That's why I'm going to vote for him.
I had a conversation with Pete Wilson a couple of days ago. Well, it was about a week ago now. And I said, what do you think about the budget mess? And he said, well, you know, Dick, you'd never been in this mess if I'd have been there. And that's true. He would have never, ever allowed that spending, although he would have got beat up by all of the bureaucrats and all of the government employees and all that, and they beat him up pretty good, but he was able to hold the line. Now, he did raise taxes, I have to tell you that, but he was a manager. He was fiscally prudent, and we would never be in this energy mess, nor would we have been in the financial mess that we're in today had he been in the governorship.
And so that, I think, is your answer, Linda, because this other gentleman, I've talked to him. He's not even really trying to win. I asked him, would you like people to send you money? And his response was, well, I don't want any money. I'm going to win without money. Well, I'll tell you, that that is just the most absurd statement I've ever heard.
Well, especially when there isn't any communication hardly. And I wonder, how come how come the, in California and the rest of the country, there hasn't been somebody who'd raise up a medium of communication whereby, you know, we could, because the media is so dominated by the Democrats and it's getting so subtle, their propaganda, that it's one of the worst battles that we have.
Well, of course, that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. And remember, we do have at least a weekend program that covers both Northern and Southern California. It's your job, Linda, to get everybody to listen to our programs.
Well, you know,
the morality, the right broadcasts are generally talk radio, but unfortunately, the mainstream media is totally against.
Oh yeah,
our type of morality.
It's just, if you have to go to another place to get to see what's going on in the country, and that's the nature of a totalitarian government.
Well,
you know,
but
when it becomes taken over.
Well, it really is, but you
and
know.
The only other outlet that we have a chance with is Fox News. And at least they give both sides.
And, of course, the other thing is we've got the Internet and what we need.
Yes.
To really, Linda, I'm more optimistic. I've been at this battle for 40 years anyway, and I'm more optimistic than I've ever been. We have the Internet. We do have a few good alternative radio programs here, but if we can get people on that Internet, you can find the truth there.
Yeah, but a lot of people, I mean, a whole lot of people just want to sit down and put their feet up after work and turn on the news.
Well, that's why you've got to reach them and let them know there's a problem, okay?
Yeah.
That's all we can do is do our best. That's all we're called to. We're not called to win the battle. We're called to do our best and stand for righteousness, and the final analysis is going to be the Lord's battle. Okay?
Well, is there a reason why there isn't a media going, though?
Yeah, because all the money's on the other side.
You know, all the money comes from all the liberals.
Right.
Well, Republicans have money.
No.
not
like that.
No, the liberal Republicans have the money, and they might as well be Democrats. We call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. We got a real problem, Linda. You just keep listening to our program.
Well, I was a Democrat all my life till I got saved, and then a few hours after that, I decided, well, you have to be an atheist to be a Democrat, so I thought I better might as well change.
All right, fine. Well, you back the principles Republicans, the ones who stand for righteousness,
well,
okay?
Yep.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. And that was Linda from Santa Rita. And if you're out there listening to us and you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 464-8295. Or
Santa Rita?
Beg pardon?
Where is Santa Rita?
Well, I think it's down in your part of the country.
Is that Santa Clarita?
No, well, no, it could be Clarita. All I had was
Santa
on this
Clarita, screen. That's over by Newhall.
Okay, where is that now?
Newhall area.
All right. Well, I assume she's probably listening on the Internet. So, and we're building up a good listening audience on the Internet. Our number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, of course, you know, I certainly know how Linda feels. If I didn't have the opportunity to be on the radio 5 hours a day and really talking to people all over the world through the miracle of Internet and shortwave, I think I'd be a little frustrated, too. But, you know, it doesn't do any good to sit around and complain. You've got to get other people onto the Internet where they can get the information. And the computers aren't that expensive right now, and certainly access to information is the key to beginning to get people aware of the fact that we've got a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts? Do you want to hazard any thoughts at all on this war we're getting into?
Well, I believe that we have to do it. I believe that we have to either fight the battle on their turf or they're going to be fighting it over here. We're seeing terrorist activity. I'm not so sure that this these shooting spree that's going on the East Coast is not somehow connected. So I think that we have to go over and we have to handle the situation in Iraq. Now, I worry about giving too much power to the president. But if you have a Congress that is too weak-kneed to really declare war, they haven't declared a war, you know, since World War II. And that's why Tom Hayden, you know, never was convicted because the Korean War was not a declared, the Vietnam War was not a declared war. But anyhow, when you have a Congress that is so weak, then I guess the only way they can do it is to give the power to the president to do it. I worry about the Homeland Security. I think they're overstepping their constitutional boundaries.
Have you looked into the USA Patriot Act?
Yeah. Well, that's true. And so I worry about giving government too much control or putting too much control in the hands of one person. But I do believe the situation in Iraq has to be straightened out.
Well, of course, no question it needs to be straightened out, but we won't get into a long dissertation on that, of course.
I'm not sure how to do it. But that's...
Well, I think maybe if we would allow the people of Iraq to handle it themselves. In 1993, there's a wonderful book called See No Evil by Robert Baer. He was the station chief in Kurdistan in northern Iraq in the mid-1995 era. And, of course, the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1993, and we gave the names of all the generals to Saddam so he could torture them to death.
Exactly.
And kill them. Did the same thing in 1995. So, really, the Iraqi people and military had wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein. It seemed that... why we were there helping them at every turn, and you wonder why we do a dumb thing like that, and now we want to send our boys over to die when of course the Iraqis would have taken care of it repeatedly in the past if we hadn't helped Saddam.
That's right.
So I'm concerned,
you know,
that
if we had have just when Bush won, you know, Senior Bush was over there, had we just armed the citizenry, they would have handled the situation. We left them unarmed. They were rising up in protest, and then we pulled out.
Amen to that. After we promised that we would protect them, that was what was so unconscionable.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, I wonder about those things, but I would rather see us give arms to the citizenry. That's where people miss the Second Amendment in our Constitution. That Second Amendment was put in there to stop tyranny in government. That's why it's there.
And of course,
citizenry would be armed.
And of course, that's one reason why they want to take the arms away from the citizens.
Of course.
Well, we're out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, you know, I just would like everybody, Christian, moral people. Do you know that if every Christian in California would vote, we could change the government overnight? There seems to be a hesitancy to get involved. And I think this is the year you must get involved. If you're moral, if you believe in good, strong morals, if you believe that our schools need to change and get all of this social agenda out of the schools, if you believe in those things, you need to turn out for this vote. We need to get a Republican governor, that's highly moral, but we need to turn out to vote. Christians should be called to battle. And that's the battle that's going on today.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. Our guest has been Senator Richard Mountjoy. We've been trying to get him on our program. I'm glad we finally did. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Oh, all right, fine. And so this is the time, of course, we ask you to pray for America and to pray for revival and to pray we don't get into this terrible war over there, because I feel there are going to be dire circumstances that will result from that. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray from our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until, I guess it'll be Monday now, next time we're with you, the Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.